Well, welcome to Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp, you can give us a call, 4921 6216. Judy, great to see you once again.
Good to see you. Welcome back, Greg.
Welcome. That's right, I was away last week, wasn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you were. You well, were away.
Well, I'm back this week, Judy.
Well, that's all right. I feel a bit better today. I don't want you to be getting ill, you know.
No, not this time of year as well. No. Well, not any time of year, really.
No, definitely not, darling. Good to have you back anyway.
Well, what have you got for us today?
Okay, let's talk about what about deciduous trees? You know, they can be quite a picture with no leaves, can't they? But I notice coming here today, everyone's starting to prune the crepe myrtles. Now they look ugly.
Yep.
But have you noticed those big pink flowers on deciduous trees?
No, I haven't.
Well, they're magnolias, mm-hmm. Magnolia soulangeana. And it's a deciduous tree, but when they burst into the big pink blooms, it looks stunning. So, you know, we can cover a few things like that today if you'd like to.
Excellent.
We've got a lot of other things to talk about.
There's a big list you've given me, so.
A big list today.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM 103.7. And we've got David from Weston, and his passion for it is starting to flower.
David, that is so fantastic. Do you think the weather's on the turn?
I hope it is, Judy.
Oh, I think we all do. Well, you know, I always think that the plants know the ground's warming when they do things like this, when they start to flower.
Yeah, well, it's just started. There's a few flowers starting to appear, and I want to fertilise it, but I was wondering what's the best to fertilise it with. Is chicken manure or cow manure good, or is there some other recommendation?
Oh, David, look, I'd be going for cow manure. And right. Also, I think start using your sulphate of potash regularly.
Right, so how often should I? You just mix that up as a soluble mix.
That's right, yeah. About once a month probably, because after a while your cow manure will go into the ground. So then if you apply the sulphate of potash, you'll be doing the right thing by it.
All righty. Well, we had a very, it was the first year last year, and we didn't have a big crop. We had some nice passion fruit, but they were rather sparsely, you know, there wasn't a lot of them, but I'm hoping for a much better year this year.
David, that was your first crop, wasn't it?
Last year was the first crop.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Well, if they're flowering now, looks like a bumper crop this year.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they're flowering early, really, when you think about it, because you'd be still getting a bit of cold up there. Do you get a bit of frost, David?
Oh, we haven't had any severe frost this year.
Oh, right.
Only one or two frosts. But it's, it's not been real bad. Not like, you know, Cessnock's not that far away, but it gets a lot colder than we get here.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good. That's probably why yours is flowering. So good luck with it, David, and get the sulphate of potash in and the cow manure.
Okay. Judy, can I ask a second question?
I think we've got time. Yeah, Greg's nodding at me, so we've got time, David.
Okay, I've got three citrus trees, an orange tree and a lemon tree, that do very well. I've got a mandarin tree, and it just for 2 years it's just stunted, and I've moved it to what I figured was a better position. We've got very good soil, but it just doesn't want to seem to go or start, and the leaves, although not completely curled up, are, you know, not healthy looking like the other citrus plants.
Right, okay,
so I just got
yeah.
A dud plant.
Yeah, sorry, I was jumping the gun then, David. When you moved it, did you prune it back a little bit so it wasn't struggling?
Yes.
You did, okay, that's fine. And it's in the ground, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in the ground.
And it's in full sun?
It's in full sun, it's in a well you know, watered area like the, and it's you know, nice quality soil. The other, we moved it from a higher point up in the yard because we thought it wasn't maybe getting enough water. It was too well drained. We've moved it to a lower position, but it just hasn't changed at all.
Okay, David. Now, just a quick question: you didn't bury the graft, did you, when you moved it?
Sorry, say that again.
You didn't bury the graft. where it was grafted on originally.
Oh, no, that's
good. That's good. Okay, so now we're going to do the poultry manure after you water the soil under the drip line. That's probably how you're doing it now, isn't it?
Yeah. We've fertilised it. It's a couple of years old, and it's been fertilised on a regular basis with poultry manure. All three citruses get the same treatment, and the other two are thriving.
So have you done that since you've moved it, though?
Yes.
Oh, you have. Okay, rightio. Well, the next trick is, of course, citrus food in about 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, we were planning on that, but it just doesn't, you know, we've done all the right things over a couple of years, and it stays stunted and not terrifically healthy looking, whereas the other two thrive.
Right. Well, David, you know, it is all down to the original graft. And I always like citrus trees to be grafted on trifoliata stock. But when you buy it, you don't know what they're grafted onto.
Maybe after a couple of years, I should just pull it out and get another one and start again.
Well, I was kind of thinking that, but I didn't want to ruin your feelings about what you should do. But anyway, David, whatever you do, will you ring us and let us know?
I will do, Judy.
Thank you very much, David, for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We've got Yvonne now from Lovedale, and she's got some problems with her magnolias.
Oh, hi, Yvonne.
Hello, Judy, and thank you, Greg. Good morning. Afternoon, rather.
It is.
Look, It's no leaves on it and no flowers on it. It's just starting to shoot with little green ends. It's been in about 8 years. I don't know what sort of magnolia, but it has never, ever flowered.
Yvonne, is it deciduous? It loses
yes.
its leaves.
Yes.
Okay, well, it might be the one I was talking about, Selingiana.
Yes.
And was a good quality, you know, was it a bit advanced when you bought it?
Yes, it was.
Right, okay. Well, it's probably a little bit late this season now, but coming up to before it drops its leaves next year, give it a little bit of cow manure.
Yes.
And also start giving it the sulphate of potash every couple of weeks.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, and that will stimulate the flowering, I hope, for you, because they look magnificent this year.
They're beautiful this year, and I thought, what has a mine flowered? So a bit disappointing. But I do have alpacas. Can I put alpaca poo on them?
I don't know.
Do you know
what the pH is of alpacas?
No, I'd say it's very, I'd say it's acidy probably.
Mm. Right, okay. Well, if it's acidy, that should be fine.
Yes, that's
you could
what
do
I'm...
a pH test, you know.
Yes, I will.
Okay.
I thought that as well.
Yeah. Oh, you're on the ball. You don't need a savant.
I do, but I'm just disappointed. I've never had a flower on this tree.
Oh, well, let's hope for next year. Ring us and let us know what happens.
I will. Thank you, Judy.
Thank you, Greg.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And we've got Denise from Adamstown, and she wants to know if it's too late to be cutting back a frangipani tree.
Hello, Denise. Would you like the good news or the bad news?
You better give it to me with two barrels. Thanks, Judy.
No, look, it's fine to cut it back now.
Is it?
Absolutely fine.
And how much should I take off? Someone said don't cut it back more than a third or you've done your dash.
Oh, I've always been a bit tougher than that. Depends how long it's been in, Denise.
I'd say 6 years.
Oh, right, so it's fair size.
Yes, yes.
Do you need to cut it back any more than a third?
Well, it's at the front of my place and that's my western window, the second bedroom, and I just thought if I cut it back a little bit, it will just drop those leaves when they come back to cover that window. So,
right.
It's sort of grown up past the window at the moment, so I just thought, But I just worried about all that sap when I'm doing the whole tree. I thought, will that harm it?
Oh, no, not necessarily. And you can get a spray that you put on, like a tar spray, to seal the ends.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and you can get it in a tin too, which I rather use because you use a paintbrush. It's a little bit more laborious, but the problem is with the tins, because it's a tar base, sometimes the trigger, you know, it blocks up. So get a tin and an old paintbrush, and just as you cut it, you know, paint it.
Oh, I think I'll have to get someone else to do that.
Oh, it's a bit high, isn't it?
It means I've got to climb the ladder and I'm not going to at my age.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you might have someone in the family that could come and do it for you. I call on mine every now and then.
I'll have to see. I might get friends. They're all old as well.
Okay, good luck with it, Denise.
Thank you. Thanks, Judy. Bye.
And thanks for the call. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Paul now from East Maitland, and this doesn't sound good. Your spinach leaves are going yellow.
Oh, gosh, Paul, what are you doing up there?
Oh, I've actually got the spinach in a raised garden bed, and it's reasonably well drained. I've actually grown spinach here year after year, and it's been quite good up till now, but the leaves are all sort of going yellow and sort of falling over, and I'm trimming them off, and not happening to every bunch, just 50% of them is just not progressing very well.
Well, I've got two answers for you today, Paul. One could be the amount of rain we're having, but if your bed is well drained, that mightn't be the problem. But I need you to dig around the yellow ones and make sure you haven't got any cockchafer grubs eating the roots.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're the witchetty grubs, like a witchetty.
Okay.
Yeah, because they love a potted type of plant, which yours probably you would designate as being a potted. Potted bed.
Well, actually, when I re-established the bed and put some more soil in there, I did notice some of those grubs in the soil and I didn't throw them out. I thought, they're probably just happy living there and I just left them there.
Oh, no. That's what's eating the roots, Paul. Greg's experience with those witchetty grubs, trust me.
Absolute nightmares.
They're a nightmare, did you hear him?
All right. Well, I need to dig around the yellow ones and just see what's going on. That's a good point, huh? Yep. I just thought it might have been the amount of rain we've had. I know that will turn spinach yellow.
Well, Paul, you solved the problems, because if you already saw those little ones in there, you might now have hundreds of them.
Oh, okay.
So what you need to do is go out and get some carbaryl if you haven't got any at home.
Right.
And then you water that through your soil. But often you have to replace the soil because there's so many in there. They're yucca.
Oh, okay.
Very yucca, Paul.
Right. What was the name of the product? Carbaryl, did you say?
Carbaryl with a C.
Carbaryl. Is that like a product you buy at a nursery?
It is, definitely at a nursery. And you mix it up with water and you water it through the soil.
And it kills the grubs.
One other thing I did,
I don't know whether this is a contributing factor, I did put some cinnamon around the plants because someone suggested that was good to keep the bugs away. I don't know if that's had any adverse effect on it.
Oh, probably not, but that cinnamon wouldn't be getting down to where the little whiteys are. They're down deep and chewing the roots.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Judy. Much appreciated. I'll check that out and I'll give it a dose of carbaryl and we'll see how we go.
Okay, Paul, ring us back and let us know because I'm always curious, but you gave it away when you said you did notice a few.
Yeah, absolutely. There are big fat ones in there.
We want a phone call back. Let us know, Paul.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
I just had nightmares about the little tree I pulled out, and there was thousands of them all just sitting on the roots, chewing away at it.
I know. That was dreadful, wasn't it?
And just banging them on the driveway for the magpies to come and
for
swoop
the magpies to get them, Have you checked lately, though? Because they do multiply again.
I haven't noticed them so far.
Okay, yeah.
But everything in the chili stuff's all dropped off anyway at the moment.
Yeah, the chilies, yeah. You really thrive on those chilies, don't you?
Oh, I've got to thrive on something.
Well, you're gardening. That's the main thing,
Greg. Out there. It's Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM 103.7 if you've got a question for Judy Sharp. We've got Roger from Belmont and he's got a question about the citrus plants.
Hello, Roger.
Hello, Judy. Good afternoon. I've got a lime citrus. It's quite well established, quite a healthy trunk on it. size trunk, but it's got a scale over it. It looks like somebody's dropped cold gravy onto it and it's congealed on the outside of the trunk.
Oh.
It's a brown colour with a white rim to it, and it's all over the trunks and the twigs.
Okay, Roger, look, the solution is going to be spraying with white oil.
Okay.
And what I'd also like you to do is perhaps add a little bit of Malathon, because sometimes, and also what you need is a warm day, because the white oil melts the scale and then the Malathon will get the little insect that's underneath.
Okay, what's it doing to the plant? Is it
it's sucking the sap out. Yeah.
Ah, right.
Yeah, they suck the sap out, but Roger, it won't be a one-lot shot. It won't be your one-shot go. You'll have to do it a couple of times, maybe more so. So just keep at it, Roger, and let us know.
The leaves have actually got looks like a black soot all over it as well.
Oh, well, okay, now you've got sooty mould. We've got to have another shot at that, which is, you ready?
Yes.
Copper oxychloride. Now, that's for the sooty mould. Now, I'm going to bet, Roger, you've got ants going up and down that tree, haven't you?
Yes, that's right.
There you go. They carry the sooty mould on their feet. They're going up there to eat what the scale is exuding.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bit complicated, but it's not really, Roger. So we've got to get rid of the scale, but at the same time, when you've got the Malathon in it, that will help get rid of the sooty mould, but you'd have to spray with the copper oxychloride as well in between times.
Okay. It's funny because I've got two citrus plants side by side. I've got a mandarin and an orange, and there's nothing wrong with those at all. So it doesn't seem to have transferred between them.
Well, Roger, you know how it gets transferred, don't you?
No.
On the ant's feet.
Oh, okay.
Now, we have another little solution. I know I'm probably giving you too many options here, but if you got an old bit of rag, put some kerosene on it and tie it loosely around the trunk. That will deter the ants going up and down.
Okay.
And, so keep your eye out on the other citrus to make sure they're not already on there.
Okay. Tremendous.
And, Roger, I really would like a call back if you don't mind, because I know you've got a lot to do there. So give us a call back in a couple of weeks. Do you mind?
No, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you very much, Roger.
Thank you, Judy.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Gary now from Mannering Park, and he's got a question about finger limes.
Oh, hello, Gary. Beautiful finger limes.
Yeah, g'day, Judy. Yeah, we got a whole heap on there this year, but they're rock hard.
They're rock hard, are they? Oh,
yeah.
Could it be the weather? You know, it's not been very kind to us, Gary.
Yeah, true. Like, I can see one little one still on there. We've got them in pot plants.
Oh, right, in pots, yeah.
Yeah. So we can move them in, like, where they can get the most sun and that.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So, Gary, tell me, what do you fertilise them with?
Oh, the wife does all that. She wanted me to talk to you.
Did she? Well, it might be a native fertiliser I'm considering, but I sometimes encourage sudden impact for roses.
Actually, yeah, I think we have used sudden impact before. My wife listened to you. Yeah, we got some of that. The wife just yawned. Yep.
Well, okay, let's keep going with the sudden impact. I'm sure that's going to be the answer. Has your wife put any around this season now that we're coming up to?
Not that I know of.
Oh, well, you might have to, whip her into action, I think, Gary.
Yeah, she's listening. So
I know, so I have to be very nice. So how about we do the sudden impact again?
Yeah, okay, thank you.
And let us know what happens, Gary.
No, Judy. Oh, Judy, with that bloke with those white worms.
Yep.
If he wants to get rid of them.
Yep.
What he needs to do is ring up somebody that's going freshwater fishing.
Oh, and they love them, of course, yeah.
Yes, yes.
But, Gary, you were listening, and, of course, he did find them when he was planting, so he probably needed to dig them out then, so he's got a real chore ahead of him. But, okay, I hope he's still listening, and if he's got any friends that are fishermen, they love them, do they? Of course. Yeah. I never thought about that.
Get them to come around and dig them out for themselves.
Yeah. Greg, we could start fishing. What about if Greg and I started fishing?
We could do that.
That's a good idea.
We could start selling them.
We could start selling them. Yeah, that's a great idea. We've got to get money out of this somehow, Gary.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
Do I get a little bit of a kickback on that?
If I find his fee.
Yes, okay. We'll keep your number in view, and we will definitely ring you if we get any money out of it.
Okay, thank you very much, Judy and Greg.
But, Gary, I'm more concerned about your finger lime, so we better let you go and get on with it.
Okay, I'll get the boss to get me going.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, you're in favour now. You've called her the boss, of course.
Oh, she is the boss, believe you me.
Thank you, Gary. Bye.
Okay, Judy, bye-bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NUR FM. And we've got Lynn from Chisholm, and she's got a question about using manure on a passion fruit vine.
Oh, hi, Lynn.
Hi, Judy. How are you?
Oh, fighting fit today. I'm having a lovely time here with Greg today. He wasn't here for me last week. What do you think about that, Lynn?
Well, I think he needs to get his act together and make sure he turns up every week.
Yeah, well, thank you, Lynn. I'm glad I'm getting a bit of support on this one. So what is your problem, actually? Do you better deal with that before we go crooked, Greg? Yeah.
I've heard you say cow manure on passion fruit vines, and that's fine. But I bought from the nursery chook manure mixed with soil. Can I use that?
Look, I think that'll be fine. That'll be fine, Lynn. Yeah. You might need to use, say, some sulphate of potash, you know, to stimulate the flowers, that's all.
Right, because we don't have flowers at the moment.
No, and that other caller was fairly early to get flowers.
Yeah, I was hoping you would say that because I thought, I don't want to know that, you know, my passion fruit vine isn't going to produce anything.
No, you'll be right, but do the sulphate of potash as well.
Okay, lovely. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for the call, Lynn.
My pleasure. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, bye.
Well, we've got Helen now from Wall's End, and she's got a question about peat moss.
Good afternoon, Helen.
Hello, Judy. Yeah, I think I remember last week you touched on something about peat moss. And I was wondering, is it good to use that when you're potting up something new with potting mix? Is it good to add that to potting mix, or I just thought it would be beneficial when you I put up a lot of plants.
Helen, look, that could be an expensive exercise. That's the only problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Depending on the amount you use, I guess.
Yes. Are you using a good potting mix?
Yes, definitely.
Right, okay. Well, sometimes the potting mix has an element of peat in it, but what I'd suggest in your case is that you buy the peat and you put about half an inch on the top. Half an inch. How many centimetres is that, Greg?
Don't ask me either.
But, you know, I've got my finger here, Helen. Go like that half an inch.
I got it.
And then when you water, it will wash through the soil.
So does that apply to most plants or just some that you don't use it on? Like I have grow succulents, I grow little annuals and things like that and things in pots and natives and all the rest of it.
Okay, well, you wouldn't use it on the succulents. It won't be necessary.
Right.
On the natives, probably not.
Okay.
But on your annuals, definitely.
Okay. So how many centimetres was that, Judy, on top?
Okay. Are you trying to trick me here, Helen? You are.
I think you and I are the same vintage, love. Don't worry.
Oh, well, you know, when you get to 50, Helen, it's so difficult, isn't it?
Way past that, Judy.
Well, we're not as young as Greg, let's put it that way. But, you know, he's getting so much experience from you callers and from me, so, you know.
Learning
Judy,
every week.
I have lunch with you every Monday, don't worry. I listen frequently.
Oh, so, do you? Oh, yeah. Helen, that's so nice of you to say that.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you. And give us a ring back and let us know how the peat works, but I find it fabulous, particularly on your indoors. You can put a little bit about your indoor plants too.
Yeah, got them too.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay, Thank you, Judy.
Thank
Love
you very
show.
Much.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Helen. We've got Peter now from Southwest Rocks, and he's looking for some info on where to buy caper plants.
Oh, hello, Peter. Southwest
G'day,
Rocks. What's the weather like up there today?
It's raining at the moment. We've had about 13 mils since yesterday. So, yeah, we needed it.
Yeah, well, we've got it here, but we don't need it, Peter. You know, you probably hate me saying that, but we've had enough here, that's for sure.
Yeah, we were from the Hunter, so some of our friends have said you've had enough.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So you're looking to buy some caper plants, are you?
Yeah, we've contacted a few nurseries or called in a few nurseries around here and haven't had any luck. And I'm not really sure if they will grow here, but interested to give it a try anyway.
Look, Peter, I think they probably will. But, you know, my go-to is, mental block here. I use it all the time. Down in Victoria,
the Diggers Club.
Greg finally remembered too. You're going to get the sack, Greg, if you don't remember quicker. The Diggers Club, Peter, you can ring them on or just go online and check up their phone number, etc. But they generally have so many plants that you would not believe, and they will send them to you. Only takes a day or two, and generally you could get seed as well.
Okay,
I'd contact them. That is your best bet, to be honest.
Rightio, thanks, Judy.
Seeing you've tried the nurseries, but, you know, I don't think it is something that the nurseries would, keep on a regular basis. But, you know, certainly down at the Diggers Club, and you could ring them. They're great on the phone, and they'll be able to tell you when they'd have them available, if they do.
All right. Thanks very much, Judy.
That's okay, Peter. Good luck with that.
All right. See you, Judy.
Thank you, Greg. Bye.
See you, Peter.
Bye.
Thank you. We've got Col from Saltash, and he might have the best fertiliser of the years for finger lines.
Oh, Col, you are a gem. What is it, dear?
Best fertiliser to put on my finger lines, Judy. It's in a big tub, and it's looking a bit sad. I've pruned it, light-tip pruned it, but I just wanted to ask, was blood and bone good, or should I get a proper natural fertiliser for nature?
For natives, yes.
Natives.
Yeah, natives, well, yeah. Blood and bone is really not bad for natives, but don't overdo it, because the finger limes, you know, are fairly naturally grown. So
yeah,
I wouldn't put too much of it on there, but a little bit won't hurt.
Scratch it in. And what about the calcium nitrate to go on natives? Do they mind a bit of calcium nitrate?
Oh, look, sometimes you have to be a bit...
I put it on my orchids and they love it, and I put it on my beetroot and things, and they seem to be happy with it.
Okay, let's try it. Let's try it. I wouldn't normally recommend it for natives, but only a small amount.
Yeah, very light. Yeah.
Very light amount. And, I hope that's successful for you, Col. But certainly don't do it the same time as you're doing the blood and bone.
Oh, no.
Okay, very good.
The finger lines are beautiful with oysters.
Oh, are they?
Oh,
I love oysters. Well, I better get a finger lime in.
Yeah, get some finger limes on your oysters, mate. You'll love them.
Thank you, Col. Look, I love getting a bit of advice on this program.
Did you ever hear back from the fellow with the chilies? I rang you about the chilies and one time, and he was having trouble with his chilies going from year to year, and I told him.
Oh, yes, you gave us the recipe.
Yeah.
Oh, you did, but I tell you who was going home to do it was Greg.
Good.
You said get them out the freezer and put some sulphate of potash on and put the seeds out on paper in August inside. Am I right?
Yep, that's correct. Yep.
Oh, well, that was good. See, my memory bank's good, Greg.
Well, that's it. We're going to leave it there as well. We've run out of time. Sorry about that, Col.
Best of luck and thanks for everything. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.